Good morning, Don. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you have an interesting background because you didn't launch yourself as an author. You worked at the lab for 30 years.
That's right. I started out at EG&G for a year and then switched over to the computing division at the lab and stayed there for 29 years.
But your love of literature goes back to high school, at least.
I have always been a reader. You know, even my mom, whenever I was young, she was into Agatha Christie. And so when she finished a book, then I'd read it. So I was doing Agatha Christie when I was, you know, less than 10 and just fascinated. And Sherlock Holmes and Ellery Queen and all those people just fascinated me in trying to solve the mysteries.
Well, tell us a little bit about your characters. You've got two characters that are through the whole series of books.
That's right. This is it's not a coming of age book, so they don't change. So every book has them at 14 years old. That's Mogi, who is a 14-year-old boy in mid school, and then his sister is a 17-year-old, a junior in high school. And they play off each other in the fact that Mogi is the logical one, the one who's he loves puzzles, he loves mysteries, but he, you know, he's really intelligent with an exceptional memory, but he's awkward and he's not quite the fully confident person that he would like to be. And Jennifer, on the other hand, is an exceptionally socially smart person. She's really got a large emotional quotient. She's perceptive. She's very secure and strong in who she is. Loves dealing with people.
And so together they make quite a great team.
They do. You know, Mogi is the edgy one, so he stays out in the front of the adventure and he kind of drags his sister along and she kind of drags him back.
Now, I've read a couple of the books. You have how many? Six are out and there will be nine? Or five are out and there will be nine?
Yeah.
And each book is set somewhere different within the Southwest.
That's
right.
They
live in Utah.
That's right. Well, I tried to pick a location there. So many things in the Southwest. So such a fascinating landscape that I have each mystery located basically a day's drive from Santa Fe. So I go to Utah, I go to Colorado, and then I do the El Malpai down by Grants, and then I'm over by Tucumcari on a ranch, and then I do Ghost Ranch up by Abiquiu. And each of those places allows me to fundamentally expose the reader to that landscape and to that mystery. And that plays a large part in the book.
So The Secret of La Rosa, book number 3, is set, I don't know the areas exactly, but up in the Taos area.
It's actually close to Reserve. It's directly west of Socorro in the plains of St. Augustine. His grandfather lives on a ranch that's really close to Reserve and to Dayton and all those places down there. Now, I cheat a little bit in the fact that this town doesn't actually exist. It's got a, if you remember Brigadoon, which was this Irish town that appears every 100 years, well, these kids go cross-country skiing, end up in a blizzard, and almost die. But what saves them is that they ski into this little Hispanic community. Well, it turns out the community doesn't have electricity, they don't have telephones, they don't have anything modern. So it's kind of a little bit, okay, now in the 1880s, and it's centered right around Christmas, so it's kind of a Christmas book. So they end up staying there and recovering, and then the mystery is that one of the religious icons gets stolen. So now they have to kind of get this solved before they can get out.
Because, of course, they're the key suspects.
Oh, absolutely.
The outsiders.
Yep, the outsiders are always guilty.
So it's sort of not quite ghosts, but mystical.
It is a little bit.
And it seems that in some of the other books you bring in that edge.
You know, each one of them has, what I like to do is play around with culture a lot, as well as history. So I introduce something historical in the very first chapter, some kind of mystery left over, and I do 1692 in one case, 1931, 1961, and then that first chapter poses a mystery, then that the rest of the book in the present day Muggy and Jennifer kind of have to work through this old mystery to figure out how the current crisis gets solved.
Mm-hmm. So I have to say, I just yesterday read The Lake of Fire, which is book number 5, and The Lake of Fire is based on the Cerro Grande fire, which many of us know very well. But you bring in also some lost plutonium, and that's the back in time mystery.
Yep. 1961, and they're flying plutonium, which they don't do, down from Rocky Flats to Los Alamos, and the plane gets hijacked, and then it disappears. So you've lost a plane, you lost 200 pounds of plutonium, and nobody can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, now in the present day, that turns out to be the key to understanding and resolving the current crisis in the present day.
Mm-hmm. The current crisis of the lost plane, which comes about because Mogi's on a field trip to the Valles Caldera, and actually, I'm guessing, at our science museum for
Absolutely.
A day trip. And his guide, Nancy, her father, is one of the people flying the plane that was accused of being a bad guy.
That's right. So she's been trying for years to exonerate him and to clear his name. But there are puzzles. You know, there's a Morse code that seems like Morse code, but it doesn't make any sense. And then there's the situation and the Cold War perpetration of mm-hmm. lies, basically, that once they had somebody to pin it on, then they pinned it on them and then forgot about it.
So in that book, too, you brought in a older teenager that's really a bully.
He is.
And what impressed me, too, with Jennifer's people skills in that one, that she just was like, you know, no way.
That's right. You know, Mogi is, you know, he's typically insecure and he's also an introvert. So he reacts to the bully. Whereas Jennifer, she won't have it.
Mm-hmm.
She takes care of that bully.
Don Willerton, he's the author of a series of juvenile mystery books, and he's talking about this series. Don, are these based at all on your own children, these characters?
You know, they are. I have 3 boys, and they're, well, my oldest just had his 41st birthday yesterday. And growing up with them and doing all the things, we did backpacking together, we did rock climbing together, we did rafting down the San Juan and down the Rio Grande and down the Chama, and we just had a good time experiencing all that wildness.
Mm-hmm.
And to see them and how they function and how much joy there was in being away from cell phones, being away from people, being away from cars. I mean, you go down the San Juan and you're in wilderness. Once you set down the river, you can't get out until 50 miles later. So watching them and appreciating how much fun they had just going there, that inspired me to say, I wish I could share this with other people, especially I wish all teens could end up in wildness and wilderness and being alone on their own, because I think it gives them periods of introspection. It gives them time to experience the unexpected and lets them find that connectiveness to the land, to the geography, and to the culture, and then also to the history of what they're going through.
In fact, in The Lake of Fire, Book 5, the teens have to turn in all of their phones before they set off on this backpacking trip, and several of them comment like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this?
I'm going to be unplugged.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, you know, and the trouble now is I can believe we used to take away all the electronics and people would go down there, but now it's your camera. Well, I don't want them to give up their camera, so you kind of have to tell them, you know, don't use this to call somebody. Don't use this to anything but a camera, because being that in isolation, in wilderness areas, being alone, there's a lot you can learn, but you have to not be dependent on other things.
On the internet and keeping tabs on the outside world.
Yeah, you know, keeping updating all of your friends all the time.
Don, you were a finalist for the 2017 New Mexico Arizona Book Awards. That must have been pretty exciting.
It was. It was. Both and books in the first number one and number two, and I won. The Lost Children, which is book number 2, was selected as juvenile book
mm-hmm.
Across the 2 states. So I'm pretty excited with that.
And well, you should be. Now, you are local. You still live here. Can you give us a little bit more about your history? You've had quite a adventurous time since you retired.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I grew up in Texas, just over north of Amarillo. We used to come over here to go to vacations, to take vacations. So then I went to school in Texas and Wyoming, then I ended up here and finished my master's degree here. And then worked for the period of time doing a lot of the supercomputing stuff and the PC stuff, and then became a manager, a group leader, and did that for several years. Since I retired, though, it's really been more risky. I wanted to build houses. I love to build. Mm-hmm. And so I became a carpenter for a year, built a house in Texas and helped build a house in Colorado. But I was always drawn more to the academic side of being imaginative. So I kept writing through that time. And then I started a handyman business here in town that lasted about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, 2013, I said, you know, if you're going to be a writer, let's go for broke here. So I took a year in which I said, I need to learn how to write well. And I need to, you know, how to make novels and how to structure things and how to plot things. And it was a very enjoyable, very instructive year. And it inspired me to say, okay, I can do this. So mm-hmm. I took some of the stories that I had written in the past and I revised them and then approached a publisher in Santa Fe to see if they would publish them. And they did. They did.
Do you think there's any future adult books in your future?
I have one adult book called Smoke Dreams, which is out on Amazon that you can get. And it's really an interesting book. It's about building a Victorian house. But the house turns out to be haunted.
Even though it's brand new.
It's actually was built in 1870 and it's got that stuff. So he's remodeling it. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of has a spirit of its own. And the guy who's rebuilding it kind of has personal ghosts. And so the house decides, well, if you're going to remodel me, I'm going to remodel you. So the story is it's pretty unique. Mm-hmm. And it's enjoyable. It turns out to be an adventure and a mystery and lots of history in it. There was a pattern here. Mm-hmm. But I expect I wrote a sequel to it, but I don't have it published yet. And I'm working now on another adult book that concerns, I'm trying to remember here. It's about trash collection. There's a lot of trash floating in the seas. Mm-hmm. And in the oceans. And I've got somebody who's going to go out there and collect it. So he's going to win a Nobel Prize. But then he does some other things that are a little bit suspicious.
Okay.
Yeah, so this will be a thriller.
Okay. Donald Willerton, you are available for book readings, book signings.
Yes, ma'am.
Will you have a launch up here in Los Alamos?
I had a launch for the first two books last year at the library. The latest three books that have been published are going really well, and I'm trying to do more of a social media approach to getting them advertised and publicized.
And where can people find these books?
They're all available through Amazon. You can also find them on my website at donaldwillerton.com. They're also on the website of my publisher in Santa Fe, and that's terranovabooks.com. And then Collected Works in Santa Fe also carries them.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add this morning?
Oh, I'm just very appreciative to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us here on KRSN.
Okay.